This is episode 39 of the Wildlife Photography Podcast. In today's episode, a Q&A with Marlon. Hi everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from Wild Eye, and Marlon and I are basically going to ask each other questions starting now. Marlon, hoe gaan het?
Dit gaan baie goed, baie dankie Jerry.
Lekker, is jou dag so ver?
Nee, dit was kwaai man, kwaai.
Lekker, wat is die trip werk jy aan?
Ek werk aan Afrikaanse trip na...
die Kruger Nationale Park.
Na die Kruger Nationale Park. Na die Okavango Delta.
Okay, nou net uit interessantheid, ek wonder hoeveel van julle wat luister kan actually verstaan wat ons sê. To the rest of you guys, welcome. You didn't miss anything important really.
Not at all.
No.
It was welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. That's Afrikaans for those of you that have asked. Yes, we can speak it. Most people want to learn the bad words first.
Which we won't teach you on here because we are not that kind of people. We would never do that to you.
Never? No. Okay. Anyway, that was awkward. All right. So, guys, the ideas with today's podcast is literally people want... They've sent us some Q&As. We need to break from email. So, Marlon, what do you think? How do we do this?
I think we're just going to chat, Jerry, have a bit of a conversation and get to know one another a little bit better.
We only worked together for like 5 years now, 4 years, whatever. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I think it's nice just to chat a little bit about the industry that we're in and people get to know you a little bit. I got a few questions from some of the followers online. And
that should be interesting.
Nice little session ahead of us, I think.
That should be interesting. Quick one, I see you wearing holdfast gear. What is that?
Holdfast gear, it's when you... slip and fall, you have to hold fast in order not to continue falling.
Okay. No. That was a successful question.
So Holdfast is an incredible company based in the US, and they manufacture camera gear, basically everything from bags to camera support systems.
They're Holdfast on Instagram, eh?
Yeah, Holdfast. Not sure if Holdfast or Holdfast, but just the quality of this stuff. I've been using this stuff now probably the last 3 years, specifically a product called the Moneymaker, which is a strap that runs across your shoulders and across your back. But the systems, it's all original design. I've carried on that system my 400 2.8 Mark 1 and a 1DX, which collectively weigh probably 7 kilos.
I was asking about yesterday. So in monopole shots when you walk, that's the thing you're wearing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so you can swap cameras.
It's brilliant. Yeah, you got two cameras that can hang, plus a third in your hand if you want. So it really frees you up and you look good.
That's very important, as we know.
That's the most important thing out there, you know?
Yes. Doesn't care what you do, as long as you look good doing it.
That's it. So that's Holdfast Gear.
I just checked out their Holdfast Gear on Instagram. Go and check it out, guys. It's pretty cool.
They got a very good page as well. And they're very interactive.
Yeah. Interactive. Funny, that's one of the things I think a lot of people in our industry are missing. Because you commented on a post I did last night where I asked people on Instagram, where are you from, what do you do, and your dream safari. And there was about 140 or so comments. And I went and I literally answered every single one. And it's surprising to me how many people find that interesting. They'll say, oh, thank you for coming back to me. I think those people who are not engaging are just missing the plot.
Yeah.
Completely.
Absolutely. I mean, these people take the time to follow you, let alone, you know, comment on something that you've put out. So the least you can do is reply and send a nice message.
It's always cool. It's the idea. And I see some companies in our space as well. They just charge in on every single post they have. They're saying, come on safari, come on safari, come on safari. The idea of kind of going into a cocktail party and just running up to random strange people and just saying, come on safari, come on safari. You can look a complete dick.
Absolutely.
But people do that. It's no difference.
No difference at all. You gotta, it's about giving back. It's about the value. You cannot sell and sell and sell and expect people to buy into what you're doing on every time you engage with them. You know, it's about a community, and a community isn't just what you want.
Exactly.
You gotta give.
Yeah. I can't remember what movie it was where... The guy, it wasn't social media based, obviously, but the guy said to this person, or the one actor said to the other, that you have to make me believe. And I think a lot of companies don't make me believe. A lot of photographers don't make me believe.
Yeah.
It doesn't come across as authentic. So.
Absolutely. And in a world like today, I mean, if you go into social, both Jerry and I are working on a lot of international trips, including places like Borneo, British Columbia, India, Pantanal, and you know, future even stuff like Sri Lanka coming on board, and a couple of other destinations. But you know, just looking through that, there's a host of companies offering all sorts of products and promises, and whether they deliver on that or not, that's you know, anybody's guess.
It's easy to baffle people with bullshit
online.
That's
the thing. And there's so much of it. So you really have to be careful what you consume online. And that's why it's important for people like us that are in the industry. And we don't do it because we have to do it. We enjoy engaging with people. I think it comes natural to us. And you know, you got to look after the people that invest time in following you.
Yeah.
And you can't fake it. That's the other thing.
I did a podcast last night about the stages people go through when they choose a photo safari.
Yeah.
And I said to them, if they have no idea where to start, what you do is... go and ask someone like yourself, what are your 5 favorite reserves? Go into Google, type in Mana Pools.
Yeah.
Don't read. Go to the image section and look through the images and see. It doesn't matter whose it is, but you'll start seeing if that place speaks to you.
Yeah.
And then it goes deeper. And once you go through the stages, then you get to ask who's leading the trip. Because you're going to spend 8, 10, 12, 15 hours a day with this person. And if you are one of the photographers who are baffling people online with rubbish...
yeah.
You're going to have to try and keep that up through a trip of 10 days, 15 hours a day. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. And the coolest thing is, you mentioned that process people go through, is that, you know, in the beginning, they'll look at the destination, find out who's going there, what photographer, and book a trip to go to that destination.
Yeah.
But when people start believing in you, they'll book you and go wherever you go.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing. If you can, if you are true to yourself and what you say is what you are,
if you deliver
people go with you.
Yeah.
That's the awesome thing. They invest in you to take them wherever you say it, and they'll go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to use this as an example, a bit of a humble brag for our company, if you will, but the Tiger trip for next year.
Yeah.
One of them's full.
Yeah.
So you've never been to Tigers.
No.
Yet, because we've built up a brand and you've built up a brand for yourself and people believe in you as a photographer and as a guide, and you were upfront and said, I haven't been here, but let's go.
Yeah.
They know that wherever you go, you will add value. Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about.
It's hard work, but that's what we do. Yeah. And we enjoy it. Same with, I mean, even our Pantanal trip. We filled up the first one for next year, October. That's a year and a half out. We've opened up a second one, which is also 50% full. Yeah. And again, it's
you can't... it's kind of humbling in a way. It's weird to kind of... I mean, you and I speak about this. You can wrap your head around how people buy into you going.
Is something that I have gained a lot from you is the fact that you, I mean, for those who don't know Jerry well enough, I mean, he's an inspirational guy. He travels a lot. He dedicates a massive amount of time every single day to, I wouldn't say to social media, but I'd say to you guys out there listening. So, I mean, it's a big thing. He's investing back into your lives in everything that he does and all the information that he shares. And so, I mean, that is a massive compliment to you, and that you take it so well, and it never sometimes goes to your head, I must be honest. In the office, let's face it.
Come on, you're doing so well, man. Come on. Annoying,
but for the most part, it doesn't go to his head.
For the most part, I have my days. I think, but I mean, we were speaking this morning, we had a... Our directors have a meeting once every second week, and one of the things we spoke about this morning is the amount of blog content we've put out as a team.
Yeah.
I think there's about 6-7 in the last 2 or 3 days. That is stupid. I mean, what other photography company puts out that amount of information for free?
Yeah.
Most people, they want to charge for it, or they try and hook you into a sale or something. It's about adding value up front and making people believe. I really do.
Yeah. Mm. And it's original content. It's written by us as the guides. It's not something that's outsourced, or nothing that we do gets outsourced. Not our social posts, not the blogs, not the comments, nothing. It's all done by us.
Like, if you see Jerry or Marlon in a comment, that's us doing it.
That's it.
There's not... I need a PA. Do you have anybody? No. Okay. But
Wild Eye is hiring.
But it's us. Yeah, we are actually. I think it comes down to passion.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the guys get in because they think they have the passion, but when they find out how much damn hard work it is, it becomes different, eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I had a question that I wanted to ask you, but I've just lost it now because you were talking about how amazing I was.
see what I mean?
it was actually around the passion thing. I mean, what do you do when you're on a photo safari? We've got a shitload of travel coming up now.
Yes.
So you're 4 weeks deep into safaris. You're getting tired. How do you manage to keep that professional brand, service, product that we are? How do you deal with that?
You know, every night I get home, I run a hot shower, go sit in the corner with all my clothes on,
sway,
I just weep
back
a little bit. Yeah.
Soft, sobly.
Just weep.
Soft.
Put
softly.
Put on Enya in the background. You know, like.
Oh, good lord.
That's for certain people.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. No, Jerry, honestly, it's, I mean, like you said, it's silly season is approaching, and what keeps me going is, from a guiding point of view and a professional point of view, is just investing back into that client. I think every day I remind myself as well, I don't need much reminding because of where you are, but how privileged you are to be out where you are, and the fact that these people have decided to travel with you and invested in you. And if I think for some people it's a regular trip, for some people it's a one in a lifetime experience. But I think starting out, and that's again in our previous podcast as well, coming back to that guiding background, it's delivering something to somebody that will change their life. And they've come all this way, and my passion for wildlife, I want that to be infectious. And every single day, whether it's the first day of a safari, or you know, day 60 after 10 different trips back to back, you do get, obviously we're human, you know, you get tired, but you never fail to, when you step onto that stage, you command it. And absolutely, you know, that whether it's the game viewer or behind a camera or wherever, that's what we do best. And I honestly think it's that passion that drives you, and it forces you to deliver.
You know what got to me? I'm just thinking of one instance in Madikwe many years ago. I wasn't guiding. I was actually on a photo safari. It was a wildlife trip. So there was lions in the sighting. We pull in. So I was actually sitting in the back row because I wanted to check and keep an eye on the people in front. So we stop at these lions. They're sleeping. And they take a couple of shots, check their exposure. And then we start talking about lions. So interaction, look at that one's probably there. And you discuss kind of the guiding side of it. Another vehicle pulls in from another lodge to remain unnamed for obvious reasons. They pull in pretty close to us and they're looking at these same things. And the guide literally just tells them, hey guys, there's a lion. The gestation is 105 days. That's a male. That's a female. And then, so we keep on doing our thing. I mean, we're talking into behavior and what you see and what you could expect and maybe this. And I realized that the people on the other vehicle are actually looking at us and at me explaining stuff to. And I'm thinking that pisses me off tonight, because for the people on that vehicle, that guide, who obviously is a lack of passion and interest and just oxygen thief at best, but that could be those people's only experience ever in Africa.
That's it.
And he's got them in the palm of his hand and he's messing it up.
That's it.
That gets me. That grinds the hell out of me, hey?
Yeah.
Can't do it.
No, absolutely. I agree with you 150%.
So many people are.
And also, I mean, I think when I used to guide full-time for, you know, whatever company it was, it was the company's guests. Even though you looked after them, it was the company's guests coming there. You'd see them for 3 days and they'd be gone. They might return again, but this is also different. It's like owning and buying your own car. You're not gonna take that, or at least I wouldn't take that car and bash it up and slam the doors and you know, spill coffee every morning all over the seats. And like, it's, you keep it clean, you look after it, you take care of it, you can take it for maintenance. And it's the same with that with this company. You know, this is our company, and we own it and we work hard. We want it to grow and to succeed. And every guest coming through here, we treat. As you know, doesn't matter who you are in life, like we treat you as gold.
That's what always at some lodges, again, where I've worked in the past, they would, for example, when you do your morning brief and you see who's coming in and checking out, they'll say, these are VIPs.
Yeah.
And at a lodge, it's like, okay, cool, they are flying in a private jet, whatever. Now, there is no such thing.
No.
Whether you are on a digital photography course or a Pantanal trip, you're the same. You're
one
a paying
and the same
client
thing.
Who deserves it. And I think that's vital. It really
absolutely
is. Very, very strange.
I got a question for you. For those who don't know, Jerry always does these, like, he's very active with the podcasts and a lot of these things, but I don't think, have you ever been interviewed or have you ever been asked a question
on the podcast?
Yeah.
You and I have spoken, I've spoken to Mike. I think Mike might have asked some random stuff.
So, have you ever told anyone where you started?
Not on the podcast, no. On videos, maybe. Yes.
Just brief. Like, did the passion start? For first of all, for guiding, because I think that came first. And how did that lead into photography and into wildlife?
See, guiding. So I mean, I didn't live in the Kruger like you from the previous podcast. We spoke about that. My mom and dad always, when we're young. I mean, a lot of you will know. April, you go to the bush, Kruger, and December, you go to Plet or Cape Town, whatever it is. So I grew up going, as a child, from young, we went to the Kruger again and again. So kind of the passion for wildlife and stuff started there. And then that kept going all the way through school. It was always interesting. You get a bird book, it's cool, everything. And then I actually studied sports psychology. I've got an honors in sports psychology. and I was competing in gymnastics at the time.
Yes.
So a lot of random stuff coming up now. So I met my wife on the national gymnastics team many moons ago. During training for gymnastics, we would have these off seasons, kind of plan it. And in that time, I would go do courses, birding course, guiding course, whatever.
Yes.
Never with the idea of actually working in it, but it was the furthest thing I could find from training. Just get away from training and jumps and flips and whatever,
yeah,
and go and do this. So
for those of you who don't know, Jerry is ridiculously fit.
I'm trying to be like Marlon when I grow up. See, now you throw me again. So I did all these courses and stuff, and James Hatfield, who was the guy I did the initial courses with, said to me, why don't I write level one for Garza at the time? I thought, whatever, man, just whatever. So he kept going. I wrote this thing, and I thought, okay, you shut up now. I've written this thing. It's done. So long story short, I ran a company called the Institute of Fitness Professionals, where we qualified people to become personal trainers, Pilates instructors, and such. Yeah. And that long, short version took us a dull night to go work on cruise liners.
Gotcha.
So we managed health and wellness. So I've got this guiding stuff, but it did nothing. So on the ship, we guided. We managed health and wellness. So that's everything to do with the lectures, the enrichment lectures, yeah, the Pilates, the welcomes, the gym, personal training, back rehab and stuff. And eventually we got given the guest relations for the spa on, yeah, the board. So during this time, photography started. You're waking up in Rio one day, New York the next. So you buy some, we didn't have cell phones in those days.
Yeah.
So you buy a small little camera. It was a Sony something, small little slidey thing. I thought it was this shit. It was just amazing. So I bought this thing and you start taking pictures. Australian friend of mine, Glenn, he bought the same, and then it turned into your definitive pissing contest. So mine's better than yours. Anyway, that grew. I bought my first digital camera in Gibraltar, it was.
Yeah.
And it was a Nikon because it was the cheapest kit at the moment. I did a course through New York Institute of Photography just for the basics, what is aperture, yeah, and so on and so forth. Anyway, so that kept bubbling on the side. When we finished on the ship, because you only live on the ocean for so long,
yes,
we went to North Island, which is a wilderness property in the Seychelles.
Beautiful property.
Yeah, it is insane. Interesting stories, but we'll get to that.
One of the princes?
Yeah, the royals went there, yeah, Bono, Tom Hanks. It was just ridiculous. Stupid stories. Different podcast with beer. So,
around a fire.
Yes. That's actually cool. I wonder if we can pick up the sound.
That'd be
cool.
Awesome.
Anyway, so North Island happened. And we did one contract on there. It was just too small for me. And when we came back, we got offered lodge management. So because of the hospitality and those kind of things. And at this stage, they asked, do you want to guide as well? I thought, oh, shit, why not? I've got this qualification. I did a million years ago. Got into it, and I did all the advanced stuff all the way through 3 trails guides. So you get, yeah, Fugasa 1, Fugasa 2, 3, and then a trails guide, which means you can walk.
Yeah.
So did a lot of work. I mean, initially freelance stuff while I was managing. Then you get back in and... yeah, that was it. That's when the photography and the guiding side came together.
Yeah.
So for about, guiding wise, 11 years, something, 12 years there. And then during the last 2 years of lodge...
12 years of...
guiding. Yeah. I had an interest, but I went deeper with the interest.
Okay,
you see, I turned it into something.
And then you became the photographer.
No, the wildlife photographer.
Okay, got it.
Yes, yes. Wow, let me just take a moment. Okay, cool. So during the last 2 years, I was managing, you like that, eh? I was managing a corporate lodge, and I started a small company called Photo Africa, where I literally just blogged each day. And I initially had, and that's when I did my first video. I was scared shitless. So I put this camera on and I was talking to the camera. I felt like such an idiot. And initially it was like 2 people watching.
For those of you who know Jerry, like feeling like an idiot being on camera, doesn't seem right.
I'm the shy type.
Sounds impossible.
yeah. So if you go back, I mean, if you go and Google Photo Africa, what did I call it? The weekly photo chat episode. I must be scared to even go look. Anyway, so that started, and then that eventually became Wild Eye through a whole different... Jono and I met at the lodge and so on and so forth. But that's the short version.
Awesome.
So it kind of came from 2 directions, but it all works, eh?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But you have a degree in psychology.
Sports psychology. Yeah.
And that must surely help with people, like just understanding people, because I think that's definitely one of your strong points, yeah, is that understanding of how people think.
I think one of the biggest things, roundabout answer, one of the biggest things I think guides in the industry, not just photo guides, but safari guides, struggle with is they go in thinking it's about animals.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not about, it's about people. And I think for all of us at Wild Eye, I mean, yourself, Andrew, myself, Mike, whatever, we all in our DNA have a people's personality. Yeah. Different. Like, Andrew's a lot more serious. You're more outgoing. Yes, yes, or you're just amazing. I mean, I feel quite humbled. Mike is kind of the young energy coming through type thing. So I think the education side of it definitely helps. But I think it's DNA level. You've just got it, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I suppose it did help.
Yeah.
It was a tough one because at the end of my honours, I was going to go on with my M and actually go that route.
Mm.
And I won nationals that year, gymnastics. And I went to my dad and he said, listen, I need to choose here. Am I going to study or am I going to follow sport? And my dad said a thing which I still hate today because I know it makes sense, but he said to me, whichever way you go, we'll back you up. I was like, come on, man. Such tell me parent, what to do, damn it. So, no, that was fun. But I do think it makes a difference. And working with people, the intuition of, you and I spoke about it the other day, sitting around a table of, say, 5 guests.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Everybody's having fun, but the one seems a bit quiet. You know when to approach, when not to, when to leave. No, I do think it's something we all have. But, yeah, maybe education helped as well, though.
Jeez. Jerry, just listening to you talk like this, I'm actually getting a headache myself. Like, this sounds like a whole lot of work. This safari guiding, dealing with guests. But
aren't we always on holiday?
That's the thing, you know? It's like, amazing. I think so many people have this misconception, but listening to you talk like this, and for those listening in,
yeah,
it really is a lot of work. And how then can we find ourselves in an industry that's all of a sudden flooded by people that are not, don't have a guiding background. They are photographers, and that's great. You know, you love photography and you love what you do, but what you need so much more than that.
I think I did the 2 episodes ago, episode 36 was, and I just came back from Pilanesberg, and I did a thing on something in the line of getting into guiding and putting in the work.
Yeah.
I think if you break everything down to what we do and why we are winning, it has to do with work ethic. I mean, you and I are the same. You bleed from your eyeballs most day because you're on your phone.
Yes.
But that's the world we live
in. My wife's listening to this. She will agree.
Sorry, Lorette. Sorry.
Bye, Yamar Adal.
Yes, Yamar. But that is what it takes. You have to market in the time you're living in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that's going around. And that's where it is.
Yeah.
I think the worth ethic thing people don't understand. But I had an email in the week of someone saying, oh, you're almost off. Have a great time off. off? You're joking. Jesus. I'm all stressed to the bones here going into a 3 back-to-back trip. But
yeah,
apparently it's a holiday.
Awesome, man. Jeez, that sounds amazing, Jerry. Thanks for that.
No, it's cool, man.
You have inspired us even more.
No, man. Come on. You're making me all shy here.
When's your next safari?
What is today? Today is Thursday. I'm leaving on Saturday evening, and I'm flying to Oslo. Spend a night in Oslo. I go to Longyearbyen, spend a night in Longyearbyen. Then I do a Svalbard trip for 8 days. Then I fly back to Oslo for a night. Then I fly to Kigali for a night.
Jeez.
Then I'm doing gorillas and chimps for 8 days. Then we connect back through Kenya to South Africa. Get back to South Africa about, that's that shitty Kenya flight, midnight thing.
Like 2 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning.
If it's on time.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Drive home, sleep for 4 hours, get in my car, drive to Timbavati for a private.
How is that for work ethic?
Yeah, it's a great holiday, man. Can't wait to kick back. Yeah, I think the one thing I had to get used to, and this specifically, just from South Africa to Svalbard, to Rwanda, to Uganda, and back to South Africa, 11 flights.
Mm.
That's stupid.
That is incredible.
You go into a little world, you put your earphones on, and you just zone.
And this is, you're looking forward to the gorilla trip. You've been prepping for that and buying kits and...
Jeez, it's expensive. Look at my new shoes. They're pretty cool.
They are pretty cool.
I'm walking them in. I would show you guys, but it's amazing.
So remember we spoke about those snacks that you bought. How well are they being hidden so that you do not feed on them when you're in the icy cold spot?
I'm going to go forage in my cabin.
So Jerry's bought a lot of snacks that because he's going literally from the snow hills and mountains of Svalbard to the forests of the gorilla kingdom, and he's actually got a prep for that. But I am willing to take a bet that he's going to finish those snacks before he gets to his gorilla
tracking. The bet could be, because they say to you, for the gorilla tracks and the two chimpanzees, we were with chimps for 2 full days, you have to take snacks. I bought all these bars and protein bars and stuff.
Yeah.
My idea is to wrap them in my day pack and put it in my bag.
And hide them. So like very well packaged.
So the bet would be that I might attack them a little bit, but I'm sure some of them will be left by the
time. Duct tape, buddy. If you get into them, they're gone. Just duct tape that stuff. Off limits completely.
Oh, I know, it's bad. The problem is the food on the ship is very good. We're on the Stockholm, which is in 2019. Hopefully we go together because we're working on something, just saying.
Yes, absolutely.
But the food is amazing. But that cold does something to you, hey? Jeez, you come back 2 in the morning, You've been out on minus 16. You want to eat
all
stuff.
All you want to do is snack.
I might have to buy some sweet and longer then.
And speaking of these exotic destinations, if you could choose, I'm gonna just lay down on one, like one destination, one wildlife destination.
International,
wherever you want to go.
Mm.
Okay, just one place. You've asked these guests where they would want to go, or in your question last night on Instagram. So where would you want to go? What's your dream place?
Of international stuff, that Pantanal trip you've got going, I think, is it?
So if you could choose one place to the Pantanal...
Because I'm lucky, I'm going to check gorillas and stuff off now, because that's going to become a full-time trip for us.
Mm.
Svalbard is... If I could do one trip a year currently, I would just do Svalbard, of what I'm currently doing.
Yeah.
But of new stuff I haven't been to... I have a thing for muskox.
Yeah.
I need to see them with the golden... Golden light. What's the thing called? Aurora Borealis. What's it called?
Aurora
Borealis.
The
Northern Lights.
The
Northern Lights. But I think from a trip point of view, I've been through and around South America when we were on the ship, and it's a special place. But I think just looking at the PDF of the stuff you're going to do,
exciting, eh?
I think that's up there.
And so I'm going to give you one ticket.
Yeah.
Okay. Same expenses paid for one celebrity that you could invite. To go with you, male or female. Adele, close your ears.
Yeah, hey.
No, any celebrity that you could take, not for just for company, not for anything else, just like a purely a celeb to take with you to go on safari with you to the Pantanal for 2 weeks. Who would that be?
Okay.
And why?
I'm thinking of three, but I'm going to cancel the first two out. So there's guys that I follow. Like Gary Vaynerchuk's incredible, but that's more on a different level.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to chat. He's, even for me, too much energy.
Can you imagine Gary Vaynerchuk? No offense, Gary, if you're listening, because I know you are.
Of course, Gary. Thanks, bud.
Amazing. Thanks, buddy. Share our feed. I mean, Gary would be a lot in... Maybe he'd enjoy the Pantanal.
Sure.
I don't know. But he'd need Wi-Fi.
This is true. You can't put out that amount. D-Rock would have to come along and the whole thing. Then the second one, I think, from a relevance point of view, but this is my marketing brand thinking... would be someone like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
The Rock!
Just because of who he is, kind of reach-wise. However, I think because we're in a funny position, I think David Attenborough.
David Attenborough?
Yeah, I want to take him.
That's next level.
Because I want him to narrate my whole trip in that voice.
Jeez.
And Jerry is now getting out of the boat. That kind of stuff. I want that.
That's, how would he say that's a jaguar?
Yeah. No, I think purely from a because even if you're seeing nothing, I think the value that guy can add. And I actually saw it was his birthday now, wasn't it? A couple of days ago, a week ago, and someone did like a montage of questions. And I think for a natural history trip, I would take him.
Jeez,
oh.
I've got nothing. That pretty much like stumped me. I don't even know what to ask you.
But anymore. Dwayne, Gary, if you guys are listening, you guys are always welcome.
Yeah,
just saying.
Rock, no offense, buddy. We'll hang out again next week in your place, right?
Yeah, man.
Cool, dude. Yeah,
that's awesome.
We can only hope. You never know. It's small world, the social media thing.
Exactly. For any of you guys, if you know Dwayne or Gary, please tell them they're on this podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Give them a shout out.
Cool, man.
We love him. Come on safari with us.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, and I have another couple of questions for you.
Oh, dear.
These are...
You have like notes and shit in front of you.
I do, because I forget stuff. I need a PA. So, this is from somebody that you know very well, little David.
Rosenzweig.
Yes.
Hello, Dave.
From New York City.
Yeah.
And so David asked, what was your most embarrassing moment as a safari guide? Your single one most embarrassing moment ever. All details.
Embarrassing?
If this is R-rated, kids, switch it off right now.
God, I'm going to have to think about this. And maybe this is a good thing for me. I don't embarrass that easily. But I'm trying to think. You see, the first thing that pops up now for me is the story you told me about the Mala Mala guy who had to rip his pocket and...
Yes.
Nothing like that. Goodness. Dave, you got me stumped, man.
Well done, Dave. Good question.
I'm trying to... just. No.
Not one single moment.
Nothing to the point that I'm thinking, oh shit, that was embarrassing. Maybe it's so long ago, I'm getting old.
We should get Jono in here and ask him for a few. He's got a few funny moments.
No, hello. I can tell you embarrassing moments on his behalf.
Right, I'll tell you what. While you're thinking about that one.
Okay, Dave, I'll come back to you.
So, Dave, we're going to come back to you. In fact, Dave, you're going to see him soon, so he can tell you in person.
Actually, Dave's with you on migration, so you guys can chat.
Dave, we're going to have a good time. Hopefully you're listening, buddy.
Mm.
Have you ever felt like you... This is a question from Colin Cowie, who is a close friend of ours and also living in New York.
Uh-huh.
For those who don't know Colin Cowie, he is incredible. Check him out on Instagram as well, under Colin Cowie.
It's an entertaining feed.
Unbelievable guy. Like he, he's the entertainer to the stars.
Yeah.
And so Colin asked, have you ever felt like you've overstepped your boundaries when it comes to an animal, in terms of whether it be photography or walking or whatever the case was? And what animal was it? Did you ever feel like you know, this was it? This was a dangerous, life-threatening situation.
One instance comes to mind. Now, let me just, not as a disclaimer, but just let's keep it real here. With wild eye and photography, no, because we as a group have decided kind of this is what we're doing, how we're doing it. Also, never with guests.
Yeah.
So you'll know that when you're a guide, you get off time, you go and drive around, you go and walk, you do some silly things.
Yes.
And I remember Grant, oops, sorry, I mentioned your name, Grant. Grant and I were working...
Grant Marcus.
We were working together at Lodge Madikwe, and as we came back in the morning, we were driving back to the lodge, and on the access road towards the lodge, so it's a single in and out, before you get to the cattle grid driving over, there was two old male lions, grumpy things. What were they called? The first two in Madikwe, like Bartiers or something. Can't remember. Anyway, so these things were on the access road. And we came in, we saw them with the guest, we had a look, we went to drop them off, and we thought, hey, you know what, we've got a couple of hours, let's go and check them again and get some images. So we parked the vehicle on the road, and then in order to get a low angle, we got out on the passenger side, kind of crawled around, and then moved on the road. So they're about 20 meters, 25 meters, kind of move off to get these shots. And you kind of get lost in the moment, and you keep on crawling and crawling, and suddenly you realize, okay, it's not 20 meters anymore, it's 50 meters. And this guy did take exception to us. We spoke lion, which is very big adult words. And I think things like that, but it was never intentional to make the animal do something.
Yeah.
And also never with guests.
Yeah.
We have been in hairy situations with guests purely because circumstantial, it happens.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I think that would be the one time I can think of, Colin, that that I thought, oh shit, this might get real. Yeah. And I mean, thinking back now, we were stupid getting that close, but we were young guys and we kind of do your thing.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So that to me would be the one. I mean, other times when, I mean, you'll know how this works, so you'll find tracks of lions and you walk after them.
Yeah, yeah.
There we've had some moments, again, without guests, because you'll have to go and find the animals first, fetch the vehicle, then go in.
You never know what the circumstance is going to be when you find them.
Yeah, there we've bumped them at about 6-7 meters, and you think, Jesus, I should have paid more attention.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, the one with Grant and I, sorry, Grant, I got you in shit. but I think that one was one where I would, if I had that situation again, I probably wouldn't do it.
No.
Yeah.
Another one from Colin. So Colin also asked, and quote unquote, there are many A-type guides of quality to choose from. Why did you partner with Marlin as a guide for Wild Eye?
Jeez, it was kind of forced on us. Eh? You wouldn't stop calling.
So,
it's a very good question, and it's not a simple thing just of being A-type. When we started.
By the way, I've got a gun to his head.
I know. Sorry, I have to say these things. When we started, we had an ambassadors program. So we chose, using social media, we looked for 3 or 4 guides and photographers who were of higher profile. So of those, let me just get this right, I think you were the only one guiding full-time at the time. Yeah. You were at Singita. The other guys were well-respected. So we got them on as ambassadors. And it's almost like you just know. So Jono, Andrew, and myself drove to the Sabi Sands.
Yeah.
We had dinner with you. So we knew each other kind of online and off. And it's sometimes where you meet someone, it just resonates.
Yeah.
That they have the same values, the same principles as what you have. So we knew what we wanted from the company. And that kind of, that initial contact meant, as a Jono?
Hello.
Jono's doing his podcast tomorrow, just by the way. It's going to be world class, man, world class. So I think from the moment it wasn't just the social media reach and the profile. It wasn't the phenomenal, I'm going to get lyrical about his photography because it's just so amazing. It was the guiding ethic, the work ethic, and seeing passion. I think seeing passion in someone, you can mold it. I mean, if you have someone who doesn't care what they're doing, it's not going to go anywhere. But it was just a fit immediately. It felt right, it felt like there was an energy and we couldn't have been more right. It was, and it's been a hell of a ride. And this is only the start, hey? So, I mean, Colin, you know Marlon, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I've got tears in my eyes, guys. Yeah. Honestly, I'm...
We're just going to hug quickly. Hang on.
I just need... Kleenex, anyone?
Yeah, but it is. It's
Drew.
You,
thanks,
and
Colin.
The struggle is... I mean, you'll know because we're looking for new guides for a new guiding division. Mm. To find people of similar caliber that can manage guests on every single level, that can work out itineraries on every single level, that are good teachers, that are good photographers, that are inspirational, that are passionate. You don't find it.
Mm.
It's hell of a difficult.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, hell of a team, man.
Awesome.
Hell of a team.
That's a good question. Or good answer.
Good question. True.
Thanks, Colin. And then one more.
Yeah.
From a lady called Shelley from your Instagram.
Yes.
She asked a few questions, most of which I think you've already answered. But
yeah.
Where do you see WildEye in the future? Say 10 years from now, where do you see this company? This is a deep one. This could go anywhere.
Can I say New York Stock Exchange?
But yeah, I thought I'd put it out there and just see what your...
You see, so when... Let me back this up. When we... John and us and Andrew had the first chat at Nkuru.
Yeah.
We met on the deck and we were looking... Funny enough, one of the initial names... I don't know if you know this. When we're looking for names for this new venture... So we went to a brand activation company, whatever the hell they were called. What were they called? Anyway, so we worked with them on ideas and stuff. So one of the names that popped up was Indigo Blue.
Very glad we didn't go with that.
Yes, so am I.
Printing studio?
So, yeah, what? What do you do? We sell tiles. So we got to the name, but when we then sat down with kind of a rough business plan to start, we worked on 4 or 5 phases. So it was to get the courses up and running, get more guides. Mara came as a bit of a sideline. That was different. But we own
a camp in the Mara.
Yes, that's... We'll maybe do podcast once just on that.
Absolutely.
That'd be cool. Maybe take this stuff with and do Dixon and them.
That'll be amazing.
Yeah. And we went all the way up to kind of lodges where WildEye would have a lodge. So maybe the Mara is a realization of that. But I think it's... One of the things we often say is you can't read the label from inside the bottle.
Mm.
So we're inside this thing. We don't see always how people perceive us, but... The growth we've had in the last 2 years, you'll know, has been off the chart. It's actually quite ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, I'm thinking of a moment. You and I were in Cape Town. When was this? 2 years ago. For Wild Charts. We presented up there.
Yes.
And we walked into marketing companies' offices.
Yes.
Big-ass place. Warehouses.
On the waterfront.
There was division. Yes.
Yeah.
And we said to each other, this is kind of where we need to go.
That got us excited. I still remember that feeling.
It's magic. I mean, and that, having, for example, our general travel division is small now, but to eventually have 10, 15 travel agents just managing general travel, to have a battery of like 20, 25 guides running trips, which means you and myself and Andrew won't have to worry about those trips anymore. We could have those guides running the business and we look at how we can scale it even more.
Yeah.
So I think 5 years down the line, that's some cool toys. Sure. Andrew just dropped a whole bunch of 1DXs on the table. It's amazing. So I think to have people running and to help new guides into the industry, for us to scale, I see it international. I see offices outside of just here and Kenya.
Yeah.
US is probably our next target for an office.
Yeah.
We've spoken about that. But... It's kind of and I'm still going to say moving goalposts, but not in a negative way, because if you say to me when you started here 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever it was, if we said to each other now, we're a camp in the Mara that's almost 40% booked for next year already, we will be running trips to India, Pantanal, Borneo, Svalbard, you would think, oh, you bloody mad, man, never.
Yeah. I mean, we're struggling to find place in our calendar to put trips in.
No, it's ridiculous. So the growth is there, and I think it's due to hard work, but it's... I don't want to put a line on it, because then with anything, if you have a goal and you reach your goal, you kind of sit back.
Yeah.
So to me, it's always more. I've always been the kind that maybe too positive, if you will, but there's always more. And it comes from gymnastics. Yeah? So when you're training for a competition, you would do something and you do it perfect. Your coach would never say to you, that was great.
Yeah.
They'll walk up and kind of look at you and say, okay, that was nice-ish, but you could still improve this.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of mindset. I think there's always more. I really think so. But big, we're going to big.
Yeah.
Just getting going.
I like that. And I think today, in today's world, there's so much opportunity.
Mm.
It's so difficult. I find it difficult. I often ask myself, where am I going to be in 10 years? Where am I going to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
And I think it's unless you're in a position, you know, in a corporate industry where you know, you you kind of climbing a ladder and you know where you want to be in a position.
Yeah.
I think now it's so difficult. It's because that goal is set. Yeah. But with us, it's there's so many opportunities that come our way. And I mean, I'm very excited to see what the future holds. And you hit the nail right on the head.
I like it. It's almost like if the corporate analogy is great because I want to become MD or CEO.
Yeah.
So you know, those are the parameters you have to work in, and that's where you have to get to.
That's how you get to it.
What we are doing is we're trying to invent the next screwdriver and be the first to use it.
Absolutely, we break the ground, yeah, for sure.
So I mean, and it's amazing to me, and you sent me a WhatsApp last night, and Laura did as well, actually, about people blatantly copying what we're doing.
Yeah.
Not even in a subtle way. I mean, hashtags and whatever the case is, they're doing it exactly the same. You think, you know what, it's very nice of you, and I take it as a compliment because you think what we're doing is right, but in a way, you know what, you're just shooting yourself in the foot because you're playing my game.
Yeah.
If you play my game, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
If I play your game as a guide, I'm going to lose. We need to be who we are.
Yeah.
So I think we know who we are as a company, but I don't think we even know where we can take this thing.
No.
It's a beginning. And it's I'm going to cry a little bit now. I feel quite emotional.
And the best thing is that for those who are still listening, I hope everyone is still listening, but you guys are a part of that journey and you're going to see all this. You're going to be benefiting from it. Yeah. And whether you travel with us or not, social media is powerful. Yeah. One of these days, we're gonna have virtual reality on Safari. Can you imagine that,
guys? I must get back to those camera guys. That's mad.
Yes. So, I mean, there's incredible interactive stuff coming your way.
It's quite interesting what you say now because I remember Phil.
Yes.
So, Phil, I know you're not listening because you're very busy. I had someone on Instagram recently. So, Instagram, while that's been going, we're into year six or seven now. Six? Into six. Year six. So, and I had Photo Africa for about 2.5 years before. I had someone recently say on a post that they've been following since those first days.
Amazing.
And you think, and I mean, in the rushed world we are, you kind of say, oh, thank you, that's cool. But then later you think, holy hell, someone's been following the journey for 7.5 years.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's humbling and it's truly, I mean, the gratitude is amazing for that because for someone to actually care what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's about is if you guys listening care about what we're doing because we're passionate about it, I think that's the win for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. Both of us are emotional now.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I don't know what to say even. Wow. I've got a question for you.
Yes.
If you had to put out a coffee table book right now, what would it be on?
Jeez, Jerry, that is a difficult one. You know what? It's a question that we get often as photographers. When's your book coming out?
And
you know, like, unfortunately, personally, I mean, I think we're not going to kid ourselves, we'd all love to see a book. I mean, I think it's, as a photographer, I think it's an amazing thing to have something like that, to have a book out in your hands, you know, containing your work. But it's, you know, financially you got to consider a lot of stuff, and it's a big thing putting out a book nowadays. It's a digital world out there, and if I could choose one, to be honest, purely from because I believe it'll suit a book so well, is to do something on Mana Pools.
Mm-hmm.
I think a large, beautiful coffee table book with forests and woodlands and rivers and you know, this enchanted forest, which is a trademark that I've coined that a lot of guys have used as well out there.
I know hashtag
you
are, copy.
I'm coming for you. but yeah, just that I've always seen it as that, just this beautiful enchanted forest, and I've always seen that as a stunning first book. I doubt it'll be a body of my work, you know, the best of Marlin, and because you know, you got to leave something for later on, and that'll come, but definitely Mana Pools, I think, will be mine.
That whole best of thing, I don't get. It's the same as people saying, what's my style of photography?
Yeah.
What, define your style.
It's difficult. I don't know.
See, for me, a style is kind of
storytelling. I don't know.
but that's the thing is, if I can sit down and say, oh, that is my style, am I not in a rut?
Yeah.
Am I not kind of doing the same thing?
It evolves. You grow and you get better, and you just you evolve.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting one.
So that. What about you? Book for yourself. Where would that be on? What would you put on?
I'm the same as you. I mean, I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't have the time right now. But it would also be, I think Svalbard for me is quite high up.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because of two things. Maybe it's because it's on my mind right now because I need to try and pack a lot of stuff in a bag. But also because it is so foreign.
Yeah.
And I think in a way to take whatever my style of photography is, whatever it is, to try and tell the story of that to people who've never seen it.
Mm.
Because a lot of people out there don't even know what Svalbard is. I'm going to Svalbard. Oh, what do they serve there? Yeah. No, it's not a restaurant, it's a place. So I think it'll be something like that to try and interpret a foreign place to local audience almost. So, but again, down the line, and coming back to the question on where's Wilder going, once we scale to that level, then we can focus on stuff like that to add value back into the business. So that's coming, it's down the line, so it'll happen.
Be patient, peeps.
Yeah.
First, come and join us on safari, and then we'll give you
and a make your own book.
Yes.
Yeah. What is your next safari?
So I leave on the 28th of May. I go to Sigita for 8 nights, and then I'm back for only a day. Bless my lovely wife.
Yeah.
And then I leave again. Then I go to Okavango Delta. I go to Victoria Falls, and I'm back at Sigita again. Right at, on the back of that.
So in Kruger.
In that time in Castleton, in the Sado Sands. Now I'm leaving for Kruger. Yeah, I mean, pretty much I'm home for a week or two in between the next safaris. It's a lot of Zimbabwe, a lot of Zambia.
We had a look the next time, because the next time we're here to have like a braai or something.
July and September. Yeah. Those are the only 2 weekends.
That we are both in the office.
Correct.
That is insane.
Which possibly won't work because one of us will leave either the Sunday or the Monday
on those
weekends. So, essentially, we'll see each other again in October.
So this is basically our farewell podcast.
Pretty much, Jerry. Thanks for the chat.
It's been amazing. See you in October.
Been great.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's about it, eh?
It's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Where can people find you online?
So you can go to my website, marlindetoy.com. A lot of portfolios on there. You can see where we travel. There's links to safaris, to blogs, to a whole bunch of stuff in there. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. Everything under Marlon Detoy. Nice and easy.
Easy enough.
Twitter, Snapchat. It's I'll not be like, snapping while I'm on safari.
It's not like Michael's one where he's Michael Laupsch. Everybody's Michael Laupsch.
Yeah, Laupsch, Laupscher.
What are you doing?
The Mike? Laupsch.
The Laupsch. No, new nickname.
But yeah, that's it. Just any and all social feeds, Marlon Detoy.
Fantastic.
Follow along.
Easy enough. Same with me, guys. Just look up my name, Jerry Finnevold, on all the platforms. If you get in touch. Also, if you want to find out more on any of the safaris, wildeye.com. So it's wild with a hyphen, E-Y-E, wildeye.com. And you can check out all the places and trips we've spoken about.
That's it.
On the podcast. Anyway, Marlon, thank you. We'll do this again maybe October 2019.
Thanks, Jerry. And see you in 2 years' time.
It's been amazing. Thank you so much. Guys, as always, thank you for listening. We appreciate your attention. If you have any questions or follow-ups or whatever it might be from the podcast, get in touch and we will get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. My name is Jerry.
My name is Marlon.
We're from Wild Eye. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.